A very filthy advent calendar 2021. Day 19. Bound to be something again by Waldous Akimbo and read by Chubb. For the prompt, Shibari. Other people. What is? They'd interrupted the quiet together, and Crowley grinned to himself when Aziraphale shifted his hand over Crowley's leg, even while engrossed in his reading. They'd been at it a long time, that silence. Felt right, it shattered at last. Alice, Crowley offered. He dropped his phone to his chest. The weight smacked with a hollow punch against dark cloth and breastbone. He winced and rubbed the spot away. Is what? Other people, Crowley insisted. Of course, that didn't answer what the real question was, but half the fun was pulling Aziraphale out of his thoughts. Today proved a little more difficult. Aziraphale was insistent on reading, and that irritated wrinkle in his brow was just waving a red flag in front of a bull. Crowley had to needle him. He stretched out further, his hands falling over the armrest until he was a comfortable mess of limbs draped with haphazard care over a mildly irritated angel and his love seat. Don't remember who said that, but they have to have gotten it from me. Aziraphale hummed. He flicked the page, audible, crisp, and scanned down the next. Was he really reading? His eyes were going too fast. But Aziraphale rubbed down Crowley's leg more before he gave a little reassuring pat to his anchor. It was to soothe as well as to hush him, which Crowley found endearingly annoying. He considered what he might do in retaliation. Start playing random clips off the internet. Recite old poetry. List numbers completely at random until Aziraphale lost his place and was forced to flip Crowley over and show him what he was up against exactly by incurring Aziraphale's wrath. Or nap. A nap felt inspired just then with the warmth and the quiet. If Crowley couldn't be annoying, he could be slothful. There was peace to be had. He folded his hands at the wrist, dainty, so easily captured. The warm hand on his ankles scrubbed at wiry hair and scales.
I love you, but shut up, please.
Crowley twitched, settled, and closed his eyes. A nap was perfect. The shop was quiet, nearly empty, and Aziraphale would be at his books, the latest shipment, for hours. Hours and hours, in fact. Crowley slept like the dead, his preferred way of sleeping, in fact, and only came to when it felt good and dark outside. Not 100 years, because it wouldn't do to leave Aziraphale alone that long. Crowley stretched and stretched, joints popping in places that would make the average yoga enthusiast envious. He curled his hands into claws and tucked a leg in, noting the cold cushion underneath. Been long enough that Aziraphale must have been up to get himself something for supper. Aziraphale. Crowley stretched again, licking the roof of his mouth to wake it up more. He was answered by what could only be described as such a clatter. He sprang from the bed, sofa, to see what was the matter. Well, sprang was a bit much. Crowley stumbled, and by the time he got to the spiral staircase to go find Aziraphale, his hip twinged. Crowley grabbed at his lower back and grimaced until he shot his hips forward, then grimaced. groaned at the deep thunk of his spine. Perfection. While half the second floor was indeed still shop, floor-to-ceiling shelves, there was a section separated by a wall and a door that Xerophil had made into a flat. With it came a bedroom, a washroom with a little white cloth foot tub that was bigger on the inside than appearances led one to believe, a sitting area that much resembled the sitting area downstairs, and a little kitchenette, replete with cupboards, a mini-stove, and an icebox in a very sensible off-white cream. Crowley offered to have better amenities delivered, and would pay double to hire people to be very discreet and quick, so Xerophil wouldn't notice, but that was shot down pretty much as soon as the words left his lips. To be expected, Xerophil was particular. Crowley would probably go on a tear if Xerophil had some awful, comfortable furniture delivered to his flat too, so's only fair. It was the kitchen, and it was a mess. Dishes piled up, flour or sugar spilled in a swatch, and then books played open. Cooking books. A battlefield of condiments. And the angel, with his back to Crowley, sleeves rolled up, his hands braced on the countertop, looking very serious and very seriously put out. What are you doing, Dorf? Xerophil startled before he turned and crossed his arms. Not fair. Those bare forearms over the chest, thick with wiry hair. Perfectly delicious stretch of naked skin. Crowley stared at his wrists like he was going to sink his teeth into them. Nothing, Xerophil answered, his voice too stern, too tight. Crowley snapped his eyes up and tilted his head until Xerophil confessed,
I spilled my tea.
Oh, Crowley snapped. And a bit of damp spot on the waistcoat dried. The terrible mess of counter was clean, and the tea was upright and steaming again. Normally, that would earn him a very pleased, very soft smile, and Crowley would slink over like a vaudeville villain to slip his hands around Xerophil's waist and bite at his lips and earlobes, until Xerophil begged him for more, or, perhaps, got Crowley pinned near the sink and fighting not to crack the tiles as Xerophil tore off his clothes. Instead, Xerophil sighed roughly through his nose and turned to wash the dishes. With his hands. What's wrong?
Nothing,
Xerophil insisted. Another time, that would have slapped Crowley, and he'd excuse himself. He'd have hurried back to his flat to yell at his plants in confused, misplaced anger. But the tension in Xerophil's shoulders, the bristle of his hair even, like it was electrified, spoke of something else. Nothing, Crowley repeated slowly, understanding, and carefully stepped into the space. He did get to slide his hands up Xerophil, but it was to trace up the spine, drawn to the nape of his neck, and he squeezed there until the tight tension started to unknot. Xerophil swallowed and dropped whatever plate he'd been washing. Crowley caught it on instinct and set it aside to dry, suds and all, damn the spotting, the residue. They could worry about it all later, when it was something again. He caught Xerophil's hand, the way his fingers were twitching, trembling, trying to find something to hold on to, and offered his own for purchase. It's all right.
It's not all.
Shh. Crowley walked his hand up on until he had a good handful of hair and grabbed it, tugging enough to get a gasp. Aziraphale's eyes slid shut, his mouth parted to protest, to accept, and he went still again. Mostly still. There was still that odd tremble in his hand, and Crowley looked down to see him white-knuckling the counter with the other. Both of them had lots of practice, not breaking the tile, it seemed. Let go.
I can't.
Aziraphale was occasionally averse to being ordered around. A lifetime under heaven's heel can do that, and those archangel wankers didn't help. Other times, especially now, he needed it. Crowley pressed himself flush to Aziraphale, the low heat of wood smoke and dark chocolate, mingling with the smell of panic and sweat, meant Crowley could pull a little harder on Aziraphale's hair, even as he rubbed that beautiful bare forearm. He breathed behind Aziraphale's ear, nosing at the dark little spot between shell and hair. Let go. Aziraphale exhaled as he did, sinking into Crowley's embrace. There was still an invisible band around Aziraphale's chest, all the wires too tight, but it was a step. Crowley held him by hair and hand and guided him backwards. Another step. Another. The bedroom was dark, muted streetlights through the curtained window. Without a thought, Crowley flicked on a lamp in the corner and guided Aziraphale to the bed. He pushed him down, not to sit, but to kneel, and pressed the angel's face into the duvet. Aziraphale naturally braced his hands on the mattress and tried to push up, but a knee against his back and that steady firm hand in his hair made Aziraphale stay put. He turned his head to the side and frowned, not unhappy that he was forced there, unhappy that it wasn't enough. Give me your hand. At the first sign of Aziraphale fisting the sheets, stubborn even now, Crowley yanked on Aziraphale's hair much harder, lifting his face from the bedding. Aziraphale gave a startled cry, until Crowley pushed his fingers into Aziraphale's mouth, tucking them in deeper, pushing down his tongue. Aziraphale tried to jerk his head back again, a little choke of a sound before his mouth softened, and he was soon sucking on those fingers, trying to see how far they could slide down his throat. Give me your hand, Crowley repeated, and one slid right off the mattress, held up in surrender. Crowley decided those fingers were better use in Aziraphale's mouth than in his hair, and kept them pressed on Aziraphale's tongue, as he grabbed at the angel's wrist and tucked it behind his back, pinning it down again with his knee. He leaned at the long, stretch-happy angle, still nosing behind Aziraphale's ear as he held him down and stuffed that beautiful mouth. But there was more to do. There was more to make nothing into something. Aziraphale slumped his head towards the bed when his mouth was free again, only to start whining at the lack of contact. Crowley wiped his fingers on Aziraphale's cheek, one slicing gesture. There was more protest to be had, but Crowley began to unspool a line of thick red rope. One could laugh at him practically pulling scarves from his hand, always so adverse to magic tricks, but this wasn't a trick. It was loops around forearms and a pleased smile when Aziraphale thoughtlessly combined both hands at the small of his back. There you are, pet, Crowley could, and dropped down to one knee so he could focus on threading the ropes back and forth into a secure pattern, chucking the end with a quick loop and tugging until the ropes dimpled to Xerophil's skin. Tighter! Xerophil whimpered, but Crowley began to wind the rope up around his shoulders, over his chest, and shushed him again through it.
Please!
Trust me, Crowley hissed. He knotted another piece, the harness bracing Xerophil's chest, giving him something to lean against, to breathe hard against, that would compress him back when he felt like his whole being was about to explode into dust and starlight. It also made a nice handhold of pristine leather knots down his spine that Crowley could grab and yank Xerophil back. Each time there was less resistance. Each time, Xerophil sighed a little softer. Each time, Xerophil sank onto his thighs further and further, spreading his legs on the floor. So Crowley tied his ankles together and worked up his calves until they were secured close to the knees, and even then Xerophil sat back and settled down. His fingers flexed with each new spot that was laced up, the final bastion of his anxieties, as Crowley tucked the end of his rope through the crook of Xerophil's elbow, then the other, and left a lead out for him to hold onto while he walked around and sat on the mattress. Come here. Xerophil only had to lean forward a bit before he dropped his head onto Crowley's lap and wound those long, nimble fingers back through his hair. Crowley let Xerophil have a moment to feel the ropes holding him, let him take count of every inch of his body that was now entwined by Crowley's careful work. He could see Xerophil wrestle his arms, left and right, a slow sway as the boundaries were tested, a creak, a groan, another happy sigh. But those hands were still flighty. They ached for something. Crowley frowned as he pat Xerophil's hair. He pulled Xerophil's head up when the trembling started to work into Xerophil's arms and down his hips. He pushed his thumb back into Xerophil's mouth and suddenly pressed the top of his foot into the tight space between his legs, rubbing at the bulge that was just beginning to grow in those ridiculously old trousers. Xerophil immediately wrapped his lips around Crowley's thumb, sucking it greedily into his mouth, flicking his tongue quickly over the pad and beginning to bite at his knuckle, as though to demand more, even as he clenched his legs and began to rock on the slippery friction of Crowley's foot. Bigger, rougher, please. What a thing you are, Crowley growled, pleased to hear Xerophil moan, perhaps even a gripe, but a moan nonetheless. Desperate thing, greedy thing. You think you can have whatever you want, don't you? Think you can get me to fuck that whiny little mouth of yours? Xerophil tried to pull off Crowley's thumb, and he immediately grabbed the back of Xerophil's head and forced him down on it, jutting his own hips up to meet the resistance to keep him in place. I don't want to hear it, Crowley whispered, grinding his own hips against the back of his hand, which should be ridiculous if it wasn't making him feel flushed all over. That smoke, that heat of desire rolling off Xerophil, made Crowley feel heady, his mind foggy at the edges, sharp where it mattered. Pretty little thing. Don't need your words, just need to hear you. And Xerophil moaned louder, his tongue rippling faster, needier, his hips jerking at a frantic pace. What you gonna do? Crowley whispered, leaning in closer, so he could pour his words like molten into his anger. You really gonna come in your pants like that? Are you wearing any today? Xerophil opened his mouth wider, a louder sound, but quickly muffled by the meat of Crowley's hand. He soon obediently sealed his lips again, right inside your trousers, soaking through. You're gonna stain down your thighs, aren't you? You're gonna hump my foot and wreck yourself. Just my thumb and just my shoe. What are we going to do with your pretty thing, Xerophil bore down, as though he were up for the dare, before his hips stirred and he whimpered softly, his hands shaking at his back. Crowley slipped his thumb free, smearing some of his bit on Xerophil's bottom lip as Xerophil panted, eyes closed, head tilted back.
Please.
Please. Please what? Crowley coaxed, dragging his spit-stained thumb down Xerophil's throat, but Xerophil swallowed hard and only opened his mouth, almost pushing his tongue out as invitation. Crowley laughed gently at that and continued to knead between Xerophil's legs. I need to hear you. And Xerophil moaned again, something closer to a sob, starting in his chest, dropping into his stomach. The wand digging bone deep, until Crowley scrambled at the teeth of his sip and pulled himself free, feeding a flagrant red cockhead into Xerophil's mouth, who closed his lips instantly, still rumbling his answer, and swallowed down to the hilt. Crowley made a startled jumble of a sound when Xerophil's nose was buried against Crowley's abdomen and a chin threatening the metal teeth along his zipper. Crowley shuddered as both hands found the top of Xerophil's head. He considered a moment, breathing sharply through his nose, before he held Xerophil still and rocked his hips. It was not a kind, gentle pace. Xerophil, helpless beneath his hand, needing that certain touch that made him feel like he was something, something useful and abused, but loved and wanted and needed, strong enough to take it, fragile enough to be unable to beg properly, opened his throat and took Crowley in with eyes squeezed shut. His mouth stretched at each slide, a line of drool down to his chin. Crowley's fingers tightened, teeth gritted, as he chased after his own pleasure first, his own thighs burning towards the end, until he slammed in tight and shot down a Xerophil's eager throat. And those twitching fingers at the small of Xerophil's back flexed, tight and tightest, before they relaxed. Indeed, there was a damp spot between Xerophil's legs. When Crowley pulled his foot free, he wiped it purposefully on the angel's thigh. Xerophil shivered before he slumped again. This time a full body, bone jelly thing, his breath ragged from the abuse of his throat. Xerophil, Crowley pet his angel again, letting him catch his breath as he rested on Crowley's leg, his face pressed against the inner thigh of tight black jeans.
That was...
Aziraphale's voice was rough, but there was a smile at the corner of tender red lips. Good.
Something,
he said, so pleased. Crowley dropped his cheek down to his own shoulder and grinned at Aziraphale, patting away sweat-dung curls from his forehead. The end.